Amen. God bless you. We're going to share our scripture this morning. We don't have our screens this morning that we'll be looking at, but I want to invite your attention to the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis. We're studying the life of Lot and looking at the things that happened in his life and how God, even though he delivered him, Lot didn't have a relationship with God. And so we were looking at the handicaps to holiness, what keeps us from really seeking God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our soul. So in the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis, and beginning with verse number 10, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom." Verse 13. "But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord." I want to preach on a subject this morning. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. Verse 13, and then you can have your seat. "But the men of Sodom were wicked and great sinners against the Lord." Look at somebody and tell them, you don't want to go there. You may be seated. Father, we thank you again for your tremendous love, your awesome blessing. I'm praying now that you would speak through us to the hearts of these your people. And Lord, as we've always prayed, I ask that you would change us by what we hear, and that you would indeed change us for the good and for the glory of God. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. What are the hang-ups to holiness? What are the things that keep us from God? We had mentioned distractions, things of this world, things that would draw our attention away from God. And certainly they can do that if you're not paying attention. There are a lot of people today that are not paying attention. Things are happening in the realm of the spirit, but they're not paying attention to the spirit. They're looking at the world and the things thereof. But the second thing that we have to be concerned with, my brothers and sisters, is the fact that you can't look at every opportunity as if it's a God opportunity. In other words, we justify doing the wrong things or making the wrong decisions just because it's there. Amen. The river might be there, but you ain't got to jump in, especially not when it's cold outside. So what was it that caused Lot to go to Sodom and dwell there in the first place? You were with me on last week when we talked about the fact that, you got to not look back. And Lot's wife looked back from behind him, and the Bible said she was turned into a pillar of salt. Now, I'm left with the question, and I'm sure you are, how did they get to that place in the first place? How did they end up being somewhere that now you got to run out of there? Just as a question, anybody had to run out of places? Yeah, you had to help them get out of there. I mean, now some of y'all, you're religious this morning, I understand that. And you want to put on the appearance that you've never been anywhere, that it was a bad place. But if you are with me today, and if you're honest with me today, how many of you would admit I've been in the wrong place and I had to hurry up and get out of there? All right, so that's what we're saying. That's what we're trying to tell you. And when you get out of there, don't look back. But how did they get there? How did they end up in the wrong place, Lewis, and around the wrong company when you knew that you weren't raised that way? Well, let's go back a little ways, a couple of chapters in the scripture, where you will find that Lot was with his uncle Abraham. They had left their hometown, Miss Kabla, and they had come to this new land that God had promised to give to Abraham. And so Lot was with Abraham. Everywhere that Abraham went, Lot would go, because Abraham evidently had said, I'm going to take care of you, son. I'm going to try to do all I can for you. And everybody need a few good folk. Right? So don't ever think that you can make it on your own. Young people, let me teach you multiplication. Just because you're 3 times 7 doesn't mean you're independent. Amen. All right, y'all with me? Yeah. So you might need somebody in life. And so Abraham was the person that Lot would lean on when times got hard. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that they had grown to the point, Brother Slayton, that both of them had cattle. All right? They had cattle, they had sheep, and they had oxen, and it got to the place where there wasn't enough space. Wasn't enough space. Just like some of you sitting to the person next to you, and you might be saying to yourself, I need more space. And so as it got crowded, it got to the point where the herdmen, Ronnie, of Abraham and the herdmen of Lot would get into these disputes. In other words, they got to fighting sometime, Brother Jones. Which one would go to this side and which one would go to that side? And so it finally got to the point where they had to say, okay, we need to do what's right. We can't keep fighting over territory. We can't keep fighting over grazing ground. And so they had to part ways. And so Abraham said to him early in chapter 13, Lewis, what he said to him, he said, now, what you decide, if you want to go to the right, then I'll go to the left. And Brother Mac, what he wanted him to do is to make a choice. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go east, I'll go west. And that way we won't have to keep fighting, but you choose. Now, young people, let me help you out with this. Let me help you out with this. The decisions you make will sometimes and eventually become the decisions that make you. So be careful with the decision that you make. Because those will be the ones that turn around and they will shape you and mold you, because you made the decision. Lot made the decision based on what he saw, and what he saw was an opportunity. All right? The green grass of the plain of Jordan. It was out there in front of him. He looked over on Abraham, on the side that Abraham would eventually choose, and he saw, you know, that don't look as good. I thought about Wicked Wilson Pickett. Don't let the green grass fool you. Right? So Lot said, I'm going to choose this plain of Jordan because it looks good. It looks all right with me. That was his decision, and it would become the decision that he had to live with. Now, I want to mention something that the scripture does not say about Lot. You don't hear him praying a whole lot. Okay? You don't find him building altars unto the Lord. Now, evidently, he saw Abraham do it, but he didn't pick up on his uncle's habits. In other words, we will look at when you know how it is when you get kind of grown, but you ain't grown, and you don't want to go to church. And so what you'll do is you'll watch mama, and you'll watch uncle, and you'll watch grandma go to church. Right? Now, those are decisions that you make. But remember, the decision that you make will eventually become the ones that shape you. Amen. Be careful what you say you don't need. Be careful with how you look at stuff, thinking that it's all right when it might not be all right. Everybody with me, and everybody see where I'm going with Lot, okay? I want to get to the place where we have seen how he makes a choice, but we want to warn ourselves, don't go there. We want to make sure we put the sign, if you go anywhere else, don't go there. And the scripture is very plain, very plain. It says in verse 10, it also says in verse 13, in verse 10 it says, that was before the Lord destroyed it. All right, are y'all with me? You're on the same page? You see it? All right, so that was before the Lord destroyed. Then verse 13 said, these people were so wicked that they got wicked and even they were sinful against God. Against God. Let me help you out with this. Let me help you out. When God tells you to do something, it's not going to make God taller. It's not going to add anything to him. What God tells you that is right in his word, it's for your good. It's for your blessing. It's for your benefit, and it is for your opportunity. But when you start choosing, no, I ain't going to do that. That doesn't make sense. Faith sometimes does not make sense. Help me, somebody. Faith will tell you, trust God on this, and God will make a way out of no way. So now, evidently, just as a footnote, when Lot made his decision, and his decision was the plain of Jordan, God then spoke to Abraham, said, I was going to give you this land anyway. The land of Canaan, it might not look like a whole lot, but when God starts blessing, when God starts pouring out his mercy on your life, you can start off with a little bit, Carolyn, but before it's over, amen, before the setting of the sun, God will bless you from the crown of your head down to the, anybody know what I'm talking about? That's because you made the choice that whatever I do and wherever I go, I'm going to put the Lord in front of me. I'm going to make sure I'm following God and not my feelings. So everybody with me, amen. So now be careful with that green grass. Just nudge somebody, tell them, be careful with the green grass. Don't let it fool you. Amen. Wicked Wilson Pickett said it. But he made a whole lot of sense. So I want to just share something with you. This thinking that Lot had in his mind, I call it the Lot got thinking. All right? Are y'all with me? He looked out and he saw it. It's called, in other words, a modern term that might fit it, it's called the shopper's mentality. See it, want it, get it. See it, it's on the shelf, want it, and get it. If you look at the market-driven society in which we live, amen, you see it, you want it, then you get it. You're not even concerned about how you're going to pay for it. You just get it. You're not concerned about whether or not you need it, just get it. And the more you got, the happier you tell yourself you're going to be. And then one day you wake up and look all at all the stuff you got, and you find out, this ain't making me happy. Can I talk to you? Now, I'm not trying to be in your business, and certainly not to look at the stuff in your closet, but I'm trying to tell you the more stuff you get, it's not going to bring you joy, because joy does not come from stuff. Joy comes, can I preach this morning, comes from the Lord. This Lot got mentality is sickening people. They're becoming nauseated. Lot looked at the city, but he didn't see the wickedness. He looked at the plain, but he couldn't see the evil that folks were doing. And amen, even if you move close to there, you ain't got to get right next. Anybody listening to me? It's just like, you better be careful what you pick for a pet. If you pick a snake, it's going to bite you. Just a matter of time. If you pick a skunk, it's going to stink you. Yeah. It's just a matter of time. And if you hang around wicked folk, help me somebody. It doesn't mean you're better than, amen. Doesn't mean you're trying to prove a part, you holier than thou. No, I ain't messing with you though. Because if you mess with people, you're going to have to accept what they're doing.
Yes.
And the Bible puts it plainly, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. So what if they tell you you stuck up? At least I ain't on fire. Amen. I might be stuck up, but my village ain't burning because I've decided to make Jesus my choice. I don't mind being different because I'm different anyway. I wasn't born in somebody else's body. Do I have a witness here? So, yeah, I'm different. I'm going to be different. I look different. Amen. Because I've made a different decision. I've decided on something else. So this Lot God mentality is one that we have to deal with. Just because you look at something. But I want to just also look at something. I thought about this. And when Lot saw, look at what's happening. When Lot begins to look at what he sees, then he starts being drawn toward it. Now, if Abraham has been your boy, is that right? Am I talking right? You know, you say, it's my boy. I mean, you've been leaning on him. All right? And you've been depending on him. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to leave your boy. Get way off from him. Right? Not knowing that you might need him again. Guess what happened because of Lot making that choice? The very next chapter, chapter 14, the Bible said some of the invading kings, or they had five kings in that plain that were reigning, and some six kings came against them, and so they got into a battle, because wherever you got wickedness, you're going to have conflict. Amen. I ain't that smart, Janie, but I know if you got wickedness, you're going to have conflict somewhere. Somebody going to get to fight. Amen. Just because you came to the party and you were looking for a good time, but anytime alcohol and folk get together, come on now, let's be real. You're going to have somebody to throw a bottle or somebody to shoot a gun. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go to Saturday night live. It's Sunday morning now. Amen. But they had conflict. Very next chapter, you find Lot in a place where he doesn't need to be. That's because his decision to move away, he moved so far that he got out of Abraham's covenant blessing. Amen. And now, just because I don't have the blessing, I want to be close to folk that got it, right? Because somehow or another, being around them kind of blesses me. You see what I'm saying? I want to get to the place where I can be a blessing, but right now I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. So I want to be around folk. Am I talking to anybody? He should have hung around that community. I would have at least been in shouting distance, or where you give up smoke signals or whatever it is to let Abraham know, I'm all right, uncle. I might need you, but I'm all right. No, this rascal got way over there. Like the prodigal. Get beyond your safety zone. Get beyond your supportive network. Get beyond the reach of somebody's prayers, which is impossible. I went on the other side of the world, and I found out mama's prayers was reaching there. So I don't know where you can go. But in other words, we just want to get out. Just get independent. That's what Lot was. I got this. I can do this. I'm my own man. All right? Go on with your bad self. So he got out there. Didn't he do it? Next thing you know, the very region that he's in, he finds the folk fighting. And guess what happened? Took him hostage because he was too weak to fight. Even though he had a lot, he didn't have any security. And that's what we talk about. You got to have this security around you. When you become isolated from folk, then you're beyond the security of God. Everybody needs to be in a church. Amen. 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 Preacher might not preach that well. Choir might sing out of tune sometime. But everybody needs to be in a church. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because when you're in a church, you're in a place where God has said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Everybody needs to be in a church and to attend it regularly.
Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody. Talking about marketing, amen?
Amen.
So he got beyond that security because he wanted to be isolated. So first thing, he was impacted by his own greed. He had this Lot God mentality, and what he saw, he wanted, and what he wanted, he got. But then he had this insecurity that settled in because he was isolated. You never want to get isolated. I heard this statement once, Miss Caroline. This still might make sense. Be careful of the bridges that you burn. It might be the ones you have to go back. And I see a lot of folk because they mad and throwing their temper tantrum. Grown folk temper tantrum. Amen. I don't need you. Woo! Lord have mercy. Now that's a rough one, especially when you say it to your parents. That is not only is it stupid, it don't make no sense. And then the second thing, it's a bold-faced lie. Amen. When you're going to get up in your prayer, come on now. Been needing them all this time. Yes. And when your child, first of all, after they get new dentures, then they're able to speak again. You just tell them what you said was a lie because you've been needing me all. All right, let me move on. I got to quit meddling and just preach you, all right? Hey, somebody say, preach, Reverend. All right, so you have this tremendous pool of sin, and I'm going to be done after this. You have this tremendous pool of sin that's on you. And the Bible describes it in three ways in 1 John. It talks about the lust of the eyes, what you see, right? Then you have the lust of the flesh, what you feel. And people talk about, I ain't feeling it. You ain't supposed to feel it. You're supposed to believe it. Am I preaching? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When I get it, I'm going to be on top of the world. Isn't that what Satan tried to throw at Jesus? You can be on top of the world. Man, you can own it all. Just bow down to me. That's what he tried to give him, that pride of life. And Jesus said, no, it's written. I ain't going there. Now, that's not what he said, but that's what he was really referring to, because he knew that you don't bow down to anybody else but God. Amen. Do I have a witness here? Amen. Can I preach my last few minutes here, my last 5 minutes of this message? You see, only God can give you your next breath. Amen. Only God can tell you that tomorrow I'm going to bless you and make sure that not only are you there, but tomorrow is there. It's only God can do those things. Amen. I'm not going to look to all the hills or plains where my blessings come from. I'm going to look up to the Lord that gave me my breath. I'm going to look to God who is my shepherd. I'm going to look to God who is the light of my life and the joy of my salvation. I'm going to look to God because God brought me this far. I may not know a whole lot about him, but I know enough to trust him every step I take, every move I make. I'm putting my trust in the Lord. Amen. And I'm not going there because I'm already satisfied with God. Amen. If he tells me I can make it without, amen, then I'm not worried about making it with, because if I can get along with what I got, then that's all I need. Amen. Do I have a witness in the house? Amen. So the pull of sin, here's what I want to do. I want you to, how many of y'all watch Star Trek, right? And when Star Trek would get into the path of an evil planet, like the Starship Enterprise, and they would tell the captain, we've got into the gravitational force of this planet, and we can't get out. Now, y'all remember Mr. Spock, right? Mr. Spock. Okay, Mr. Spock said, Captain, what we can do, this may not be what you feel like doing, but we can actually go in the force of that gravity and allow it to propel us out of it. So sure enough, man, they went full speed ahead, but they didn't get so close to where it would touch them. Now, you can't get out of this world until God calls you out. Now, y'all stay with me. I'm still in Star Trek now. Okay, I'm still in Star Trek mode, all right? But what you can do is propel faster than that force that's coming against you. Are y'all listening? Remember I said lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What you've got is something greater in you than that which is in the world. In other words, the force that's in you, all you got to do is keep going, child. Amen. Amen. You're going to get past this. When you find yourself being tempted, just tell yourself, I'm going to get past this. I'm I'm not going to allow this sin to cause me to get hung up on life. I will look to God because the Lord brought me this far. And if he brought me this far, God will take care of you. What you got on the inside is greater than what's operating around you. Because you've got the Lord in your life. So all you got to do, even if you do get in trouble, they had this thing called a beaming device. It was that beam me up, Scotty. Y'all missed it. You don't watch Star Trek. All right, you don't watch it. But whenever they got in trouble and they needed to get out of there, they would have a beaming device that what they got a position locked on them. Then it would just zap them out of there. How many of y'all had Jesus to get you out of stuff? Amen. You've been all around trouble, but then you would pray a prayer. Lord, I thank you for deliverance. And the next thing you know, deliverance was on its way because you dared put your trust in the Lord. All right, I got to finish preaching. I got to finish preaching here. The last thing I want you to understand is the impact of greed. Impact of greed. People say you can never have too much. Yeah, sometimes you can have too much. We talked about the impact of greed and then the insecurity of isolation, but then the influence of wickedness. Being around people that you don't belong being around. Here's the point I can't get. Folks can hang around the sinful people and they can't stand church folk. Now, let me get this right. You can't stand church folk because you say the hypocrite, yet somebody out here that you know is a crook. Huh? You know they bad off. You know they toe up. Amen. At least the folk that's in the church trying to get right. Amen. And yet you won't hang around them because you said amen, but hypocrite. They ain't gonna jack you up like some of the folks on. Lord have mercy. The influence of wickedness. Once it gets into you, next thing you know, you're swept up into. The Bible talks about it, and I believe in 2 Peter, where it says that this righteous man, he went there righteous, had his soul vexed every day because he was too close to sin. What church does, it allows you to come every Sunday. And as the word of God goes out, Mike, as the word of God is poured out, it gets down on the inside. And you know where sin did abound, grace does much more abound? I find myself that every time I worship God, every time I lift my hands up to God, God said, wait a minute, you got something in your life that I want to move out of the way. Do I have a witness here? You see, when you don't worship and when you're not a worshiper of God, you're drawn into this influence. But when you start worshiping God and paying attention to what God is doing, he changes your walk. He changes the way that you think. And yes, before I made some bad decision, but now I'm making some right decisions. Amen. If it's nothing else but say, Lord, you got me out of it, I ain't going back there. Do I have a witness here? And so you end up living the kind of life where you can lift your head up and say, you know what? Faith brought me this far. And I believe that faith will take me on. I'm out of time. I wish I could preach just a little bit. Give me 2 minutes. All right. Tony, can I have 2 minutes? All right, so two minutes. You see, when you seek first God's kingdom, I'm not looking to the green valley. I'm not looking to the great promises. Because folks that's rich got problems. Amen. And if all you want to do is be rich, or as 2 cents say, get rich or die trying, 50 cents, all right, ain't no much better. But when the Bible said you can seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and watch this. And all these things shall be added. Now, it doesn't mean I got to have those things. But when I got God, I've got God who has those things. So if I need it, all I got to do is hook up. Hook up with God. And everything I need, he provides. He provides. Very quickly, seeking God's kingdom, you're never lost. How many of you agree with that? Seeking God's kingdom, you are never lost. You'll always know exactly where you are. And seeking God first, you'll never be last. Amen? You might not have what somebody else got, but guess what? You got God on the inside. and that makes it all right. Do I have a witness here? But then seeking God's righteousness, you'll never go wrong. You have this thing, what we call portable faith. Portable faith. That means you can take up your faith anywhere you go. And you can decide with Abraham, all right, where I'm going might not look well, but it's going to be all right. As soon as I get over there and we start fixing up, me and the Lord, we're going, man, we're going, this thing going to be all right here. Amen. Do I have a witness? Amen. What we're really saying is don't look at opportunities as being the best thing for your life. Seek God and his righteousness. And everything else that you need, God will provide. I'm not out of preaching, but I'm out of time. Bow your heads in prayer. Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for your awesome presence today. I pray that you would ever keep us in your will. Help us, Lord, to do that which is right in your eyesight. We thank you, Father. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name. And if there's someone today, Lord, who doesn't know you, I pray that they would surrender their way and accept your way and become a believer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Going to extend the invitation if there be one today. You without Christ, without hope in this present world, if you're here and you want to respond to him, all you have to do is say, Lord, I want you in my life and I accept you as my Lord. If that's you today, we invite you to come. Everyone standing.